Good morning. Welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. It's a beautiful day in Trevose, so beautiful that Kathy Houston wants to go outside, don't you?
Yes, I do. Goodbye.
Doesn't have to be a beautiful day for Kathy to not want to be here.
We've got Andy Cohn, fresh off vacation.
Yeah.
How was back in the office?
It was great.
You were at the Jersey Shore?
I was.
Yeah. Were you
Jersey,
Jersey
Shore
strong?
In the house?
Did you
Jersey
do strong? Gym tan laundry?
I did tan.
No gym, no laundry.
No gym, no laundry. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are happy to have you back. Uh-huh. Who is this sitting at the end? It's CJ Medica.
It's Joe.
Of Wearables Magazine. CJ.
He has a goatee just like Joe.
I had to shave into a goatee just for Joe because it's a requirement of the hosting here at this table.
All right. Well,
at least for the males.
We're happy to have you here.
He's like the quieter, gentler Joe.
Aw. Michelle Bell, everyone's favorite supplier, Global Research Resource. I didn't change your name. Editor.
Michelle,
that's also everyone's favorite.
What's that magazine called?
Supplier Global Research.
That's what we call it, SGR.
Well. Michelle, what are you working on this month?
We are working on our international issue.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's.
Ooh. Yeah, Europe's awful.
Go global.
Yeah, Europe's awful. Asia's all right.
Aw.
No need to read the issue. Europe's awful. Asia's all right. Move on.
All right. We've got a whole cast of characters over managing our tech area. Vinny Driscoll's going to be answering your phone calls today. Call us at 215-953-4979. Today's call in topic is, how can I improve loyalty with my clients? If you have any ideas on or questions on client loyalty, call us 215-953-4979. You can start calling us now. Michelle, if we put you on the air today, what are we going to give you?
We're going to give you a $25 Visa gift card and our ever-growing prize pack, which includes the finger puppets from Lion Circle, the face fans from Lion Circle, the keychains that say the Joe Show.
Joe Show key tag.
Joe Show key
tag. Now, you know, CJ's here. Is he going to throw in a prize, or is he just here for his good looks?
What are you putting in, CJ?
I have a closet full of samples. If you need to throw in anything. Okay. T-shirts, just name it.
So maybe a special gift from CJ as well.
That would be great. Some apparel samples.
All right. So call us 215-953-4979. Michelle, what else is on tap for today's show?
Kathy's going to talk about 7 things really persuasive people do in our Product Safety Minute with Leighton Lee, our friend from ETS Express. He's going to talk about small items that often can be components of promotional products that can choke children, unfortunately. 6 questions every business plan should be able to answer. Andy's going to talk about that. The pros and cons of hiring remote workers. CJ's going to discuss that one. We'll have our favorite things. And 5 ways to get and keep motivated. And me, the epitome of motivation, we'll be discussing that.
Either you or me, Michelle.
Yeah. But first, we have Andy with the news.
Go to it, Andy.
All right. Thanks, guys. We begin this morning with acquisition news. Top 40 distributor Workflow One has been acquired by document management firm Standard Register. Workflow One will initially operate as a subsidiary of Standard Register before later being integrated under the Standard Register name. On to apparel market news now. Gildan Activewear reports that revenue in its fiscal third quarter increased by 2.3% to reach $614 million. The company's net income in the period, though, grew by 47%, helped by lower cotton costs and increased sales volumes. The company expects its revenues for full year 2013 to be just over $2.15 billion. Top 40 financial news now. BIC APP, parent company of Norwood and BIC Graphic North America, said its second quarter sales decreased by 6% and its revenues in the first half of 2013 fell by 8.4%. On the other side of the coin, Top 40 distributor 4imprint said that its North American revenues increased by 13% in the first half of 2013. More acquisition news now. Top 40 distributor Innerworkings has acquired Prague-based firm iLevel, a global provider of permanent retail displays and store fixtures. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe may be on vacation, but he has left us with a brand spanking new edition of the Joe Show.
And it's a doozy, I hear.
Sure. I haven't watched it. I'm sure Joe has.
All right. Well, our friend Leighton Lee is on the phone. He's from ETS Express, and he's going to give us our Product Safety Minute. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, folks. I hope everyone is well.
Yep.
Well, this morning I chose to do a little topic that's kind of a follow-up of a segment I did a couple of weeks ago on button cell batteries, the dangers of children swallowing things and aspirating things. So there was a recall about a week ago by a company called Be Amazing Toys, and they have they have had to recall a set of small marble-sized balls. They're colorful. They come in like a 5 or 6 pack in a little clamshell packaging. But the problem is that when you add water to these balls, as intended, they expand up to 400 times their original size. The risk here, much like the button cell battery issue, is children swallowing them because they are small, they fit in the mouth. Children, especially young ones, are rather quizzical about what the side of it. The problem with these expanding balls is that they're colorful and they look like candy. So they swallow them, and unbeknownst to them, that thing, those balls are growing inside them about 400 times the size. They grow up to about the size of a small, like a stress ball, and they don't come out. So they have to be removed by surgical means. Oftentimes, they don't show up on x-rays. So I just want to put out that warning this morning for promotional items that might appear to be attractive to children, number one. Number two, that they might expand. Now, I know within our world of products, many of the distributors and suppliers sell these expanding towels. You've seen these. Mm-hmm. They're little magical towels that are compressed as dry, and then when you add water, they expand. And they're really neat. I use them too. Children might take those to be like pills or something, and all of a sudden they've now ingested a hand towel. So suppliers and distributors, keep an eye out for things that might be dangerous to children as a small item, but could expand inside their bodies and pose very, very serious ingestion issues. So that is this Product Safety Minute for this lovely Tuesday. I hope you all have a great week.
Thank you so much, Leighton. And those are very popular items, some of the things you talked about. So something that people should keep on their radar for sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there. It does get to the point that I think a lot of distributors don't always understand, in the sense that who is going to be receiving products. It's really vital today, and we've talked about this before, that distributors really ask clients exactly who might these products get in the hands of. And if it's possible that children might be in an event, you know, you might not think that it's a children's product, but if children are going to be in an event, the products that he's talking about, they could be concerned.
Yeah.
They can be concerning. So it's not necessarily like against the CPSIA mm-hmm. rules, but it's something that you have to be educated about and knowledgeable about. So you have to ask your clients who might be at an event that could be getting these products.
Do you remember that story on the news about those little Tide pods?
Yeah.
Dish detergent, I think, that kids thought that they were so attractive, they were eating them and licking them because they look like little, pods of candy. So it's just, I think it, behooves distributors, certainly when they're giving these to their clients, what are children going to think of them? Are they going to be attracted to them because of the size, the color?
Yeah, it's all about asking the right question.
Yeah, totally. Sure.
All right, we are going to take your calls now at 215-953-4979. Today's topic is improving loyalty with clients. And on line 5, we have Ed. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys and dolls. How's it going?
Great.
We have used a program in the past. We were fortunate enough to have a condominium at Jacksonville Beach, and we used that as like a top prize for X number of purchases, I want to say, with a dollar amount attached to it. If you're like your Fab Five, that would be you guys, and you have your South Beach condominiums, you could use that.
Wow, we'd like to have that.
Yeah.
How do we get
you didn't know you had that, right?
No.
I'm with Halo, and Halo has at our disposal various things that we can get good pricing on to do the same sort of methodology with extend something for whatever you want to tie it to, a certain number of purchases, or even a purchase over $1,500. I've done that before, just a one-time thing. So those are some of the ways that we've exercise the avenues to try to get loyalty, besides the good service and everything else.
So, Ed, you basically use rewards at various levels to kind of keep clients as loyal as possible?
Yes, and I mean, we try to exercise all the normal traits that you want to extend to somebody, that besides the bribery part of it, if you will, but yeah, we've found that to be successful, and they like perks, and you know, and hopefully you've hit them when they're going to buy anyway, and that might have steered them towards us rather than somewhere else.
Sure.
I like that. Great idea. Thanks so much for calling, Adam. Stay on the line for your ASI prize pack.
You guys have a good one.
You
thanks.
Too. On line two, we have our friend Stanley from California. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your thoughts on customer loyalty?
Well, one thought I just wanted to share is I'm so glad Leighton actually talked about those towels because, and this comes right back to customer loyalty. When I go to clients, I talk to them about, you know, what they're going to be using it for, and it almost doesn't matter what they're going to use it for. You know these promotional items are going to be taken home, thrown on a desk, and if they've got kids, they're going to be playing with them. And I had recommended that a client didn't do the nickel size expanding towels because, to me, having nieces and nephews, it just seems so obvious, but to a lot of the clients, it didn't make sense. And we recommended against it. Somebody else decided to buy it, and they had a problem after their event with that issue. The way it came back to me in customer loyalty is that my contact who got me in there realized that I was more concerned about the success and safety with their promotional campaign than the other company who knew about the issue was even asked, and they said it wasn't a big deal. So that's one thing that I find really creates customer loyalty.
My question to you is,
what, and also to the person that was talking about Halo, you know, they talk about large distributorships that have all these advantages, but I really believe that the small distributorships, if they just watch their money and ask for good pricing, they can usually get it. And if they put together a program like the big boys, they can create these loyalty programs as far as rewards and gifts and incentives, just like the big guys.
Oh, absolutely.
I totally agree with that.
I met with one distributor who was on her own, had her own successful business, and she would give out Coach bags to her girlfriends who gave her referrals and things like that, and also to customers who spent certain amounts. She had a lot of women clients, and it was a hugely successful program for her. And you know, I mean, if she, you know, she would get a several thousand dollar order, mm-hmm. and she'd give a Coach bag for the order, and it worked for her. So I think, you know, you could scale it any way that you need to.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big distributor, small distributor issue at all. I think, like Stanley said, you know, you just need to be attuned to what your clients want. If you're providing ideas and being a resource to them, that's certainly helpful, and that's something that they're going to be loyal to.
If you're, say, a product safety expert,
right.
and you can provide that kind of expertise, which, you know, a lot of distributors, frankly, aren't talking to their clients about right now, mm-hmm. you know, that's another advantage or perk, I would
right.
say.
Yeah, simply being a go-to resource is probably the best loyalty method. You know, you can reward them, like you were saying, in various ways. And I would, you know, reward your best clients. But being the kind of go-to resource is probably the biggest way to gain loyalty today.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling, Stanley.
And will I be seeing any of you down at the Long Beach show?
Nope.
You will be seeing our fearless publisher, Rich Fairfield, so be sure to say hello.
We'll be looking for him.
All right, thanks. Have a great day. Stay on the line for ASI Prize Pack. On line three, we have Sophia.
Well, hello.
Well, hello, Sophia.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, talking about loyalty, I'm a supplier, and I say this with all due respect, but I find it ironic that while distributors complain about a lack of loyalty with their clients who are driven by price, they tend to turn around and do exactly the same thing to suppliers. So the loyalty is a bit lacking. What's your advice for getting distributors to stay loyal to their vendors?
Well, Michelle, this is a topic that I know you speak about a lot at your luncheons at the shows.
Yep.
Suppliers and distributors talk about what they need from each other. Any tips that you've gotten from those sessions?
I would say that some of the tips that we've actually just given for distributors are applicable to suppliers as well. I mean, be a resource to them. Mm-hmm. One thing I learned from hosting the supplier luncheon in Chicago was distributors seem much more than they were 5 years ago, much more willing to take suppliers into calls with them, sales calls.
Mm-hmm.
So be available when distributors want you to go with them. They seem to be relying on, the paranoia seems to be dissipating. that suppliers used to be very concerned about bringing suppliers in on sales calls, and I don't think they are so much anymore. So be available, I would say, to distributors. Go over and above. For distributors, I would say for suppliers, what Stanley said was interesting about small distributors getting the same treatment as large distributors. I have friends who are suppliers who say that all it takes is really like a gift basket here or there from a distributor saying thank you, and they will give them the best treatement they've ever had. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll just...
Because that rarely happens.
It rarely happens. Mm-hmm. So they'll go over and above
for them.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
A thank you note. Something.
All right. Well, good luck, Sophia. Stay on the line for your ASI gift hack, and thanks for calling. On line two, we have Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that I heard people talking about the smaller distributors, and I kind of think there may be an advantage to being smaller too, because you can customize it. I commented on Facebook that I think appreciation is a key component of being loyal. Mm-hmm. And if you can customize, in other words, not everything is going to be a cookie cutter for everybody. Each of us appreciate things differently, and we feel appreciated differently. And if we're able to really adequately blueprint our clients, we know what motivates them. We've done it for the process of actually selling to them. We know what their hot buttons are. We can kind of customize because, frankly, some people would appreciate a discount where others might like a note, a gift, or, say, an open house invitation. And so I think it's easy to be able to, if you're not maybe a part of a large group that has a standard appreciation program, we can customize it. We can get really specific, and, it may require a little bit of effort on our part to do that, to customize each one, but that kind of sets us apart from our competitors also. We're wanting them to choose us, but we need to treat them with that special kindness and care and really get specifically, genuinely know your client and what they would appreciate and how they would feel appreciated for their business.
That's a really good point, Brian. Any example of something customized you've done like that for a client?
Well, and again, it really is the difference between a note or a gift. Some people you can tell that, writing just a special handwritten thank you card. Mm-hmm. I've done that. We have custom cards that we have specifically, and certainly handwritten always works. None of this carbon copy stuff. And point out, maybe some of the things in the conversation that says, I'm so thankful you're this way or that, and include something small. Mm-hmm. I've done custom pens. Hub has a three pen free kind of thing where they will personalize a pen for you, and you can hand pick. Say, I use Lombardo pens from Hub, where for once a week you can send in this little order form with a personalized name on it. They get a pen because you order it right when you place the order with your client. And 3 weeks later, it comes to you at perfect time for you to get it to them. And again, they get a really nice pen that has their name on it. And I don't put my name on it at all. I don't put my business on it. It's just, it's not an advertising thing. It's a way to say thank you. So they get a pen with their name on it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love that idea. Well, thanks so much, Brian. Great points. Thanks for calling, and stay on the line for your ASI gift card.
I think Brian's point can't be stressed enough. The idea of like individual loyalty is so important today. Each client may be loyal to a vendor for different reasons, and I think you need to know what those reasons are so that you can then feed into those for your most important clients. You might not be able to individualize loyalty programs for your whole client base, but for your best ones, you really need to probe and find out what is important to them so that you know what would be their kind of hot button when it comes to being loyal to a vendor. And that's kind of what he was getting at.
Especially with like gifts, if you know your best clients well enough, what their personal interests are, what they do for fun, so it's
right.
easy to tailor a gift that's specific to what they enjoy the most.
Totally.
All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA. When we return, Michelle, I think you've got some Facebook comments on this topic too.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today. 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We're talking about customer loyalty. Michelle, we've had a couple of Facebook comments that you wanted to mention.
Yep, we have one from Ryan Shad who says, we segment repeat customers and let them know about extra special deals that we wouldn't normally offer in general. He says, reward the loyalists.
So it's sort of like an exclusive VIP club.
Yep, exactly.
That's a great idea.
Amen. You know, we see in our SOI survey that not enough distributors segment their customers and critically analyze, you know, the best ones to go after and the best ones to spend your time on. This is another part of that. You know, you need to know who your top customers are as far as profitability, not just revenue, but profitability, so that then you can tailor loyalty programs to them.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Amen.
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 David Garthwaite says, don't ignore, but don't be a pest. Be your client's business partner by helping them with marketing projects, even if they don't buy anything from you. If you're the go-to guy for marketing ideas, you will have you'll develop their customer loyalty, which is kind of what Andy and Stanley were saying.
All right. Well, thanks to our Facebook friends for writing in. Kathy, most salespeople, I think, would call themselves persuasive, or they'd want to be persuasive.
Yeah, definitely.
But you have seven things that really persuasive people do. Let's see if we do them.
All right. I'll give you four. Well, you know, we're not all salespeople, but we have to persuade people.
Oh, in all
Everybody
kinds
has
of,
to persuade
absolutely.
People. Okay, so first of all, they're purposeful. It's the person who rarely asks or argues that ultimately gets consideration when they strongly advocate an idea, right? Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, second, they listen and then listen some more. First, they're listening to assess how receptive you are to their point of view. And second, they're listening for your specific objections, so you know what you have to overcome. And that, lastly, they're listening for moments of agreement so you can capitalize on concession. Third, they create a connection. Really persuasive people are likable and look for common ground to help establish emotional bonds and shared objectives. They show empathy for your position also and make it known that they're on your side. And then finally, they know when to shut up. That's a big one. Okay,
we'll do that here.
No, we can't. We don't know when to shut up. Either just Joe Haley, but he's not here. They carefully support their argument and check in with questions that will help to close the conversation. Then they step back.
I think those are good points. Yeah. I think some people who salespeople who find themselves persuasive probably don't do enough listening.
Right.
And they don't shut up sometimes.
That's true.
So it's good to know that that's it's an important tactic.
Yeah, that's one of the most important.
Well, you have to know what to be persuading.
Exactly.
Right, but some people don't. They just
to stop and listen, then you have no idea what you should be persuading the person on.
Right,
that's true. All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's other show sponsor, ASI Computers. When we return, our beloved CJ Minica is going to talk about apparel trends for fall.
Go tease.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. CJ, you're our fashion guru here in the building.
You didn't use air quotes. That's very much appreciated.
I know that Wearables has a big fashion issue coming out. You guys did an awesome shoot.
Cool,
tell us
you.
What apparel trends we should be on the lookout for fall.
So, yeah, we have our fall fashion preview in our September issue. We highlight a number of trends, so I'll just pull out three here. One is the return of classic outerwear, so a couple of styles. Bomber jackets are very big, and also varsity jackets, so, you know, that old, like, high school, like, you know.
Andy, do you still have your varsity jacket?
Yeah, somewhere in the attic.
Okay.
Well, so bring it to the office, so you'll be with the trends.
It's fashion.
So, yeah, you definitely see a lot of those classic outerwear styles. Also, camo is very big right now, so camo has been popular.
I just bought a pair of camo pants.
In fact, you wore them yesterday, right?
I did.
See, she
but
read,
you
she
didn't
read our
tell
article.
Me I was fashion forward.
I just want to make sure that you're reading the magazine.
I am.
But basically, you're seeing camo in a lot of things that you wouldn't normally see them in, so that, you know, button-down shirts, pants, even blazers. So the camo pattern's really proliferating into a bunch of different styles. And then
it's not just for hunting anymore, Andy.
I tell you.
And lastly, actually, you continue to see a resurrection of grunge. So there's been a lot of mid-90s nostalgia. Grunge elements are coming back into play. So beanies, plaid. But also, it's sort of the aesthetic. There's a lot of mixing and matching of items, and a lot of like layering. For example, like leggings under skirts, sort of, you know, capturing so that mindset from the 90s, sort of just throwing things together.
I've seen a lot of plaid. Now, Michelle, what do you think? He's not here today, but our friend Joe Haley would think about the return of grunge, especially in the workplace.
I'm going to say that he will not be a fan of that one little bit. He's a fan of the
ties.
He's
waiting for a return of these khaki pleated pants.
Yes.
All right. Well, I assume that we can read all about these and more trends in the September issue of Wearables Magazine.
Yep.
So everyone should be sure to check that out. Now it's time for Michelle's favorite part of the show, where the editors talk about their favorite products of the week. Kathy Houston, I know you want to go first. You're clamoring.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Kathy clamoring.
Yeah. Football season's coming up, you know, right? So my pick of the week is the Kooz Ball from U.S. Poly Enterprises, ASI 92868. And it's a drink cooler, but it's also a foam football that you could throw around. So it's pretty cool.
How should you throw the football while the drink is in it?
I don't think so.
I'm guessing
I don't recommend that.
No. I think first you should drink and then throw it around.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. Good.
It's funny that yours is drinking related because so is mine.
Mine too.
Yeah, wow. We have a theme here today.
I didn't get the memo, unfortunately.
I was on vacation last week and could use some of these stone coasters. So these very cool stone coasters come with a cork backing and in a printed box, and they could be anything printed on the front. It's very cool. Check it out online right now at asicentral.com/radio, and it is available from Coaster Stone, which is ASI 60965.
All right, CJ, what do you have?
So actually, tomorrow, Ash City is having their fall launch event, and our own staff writer, Chris Rubo, is going to be there covering it. So with that in mind, I picked out one of their new jackets. It's called the En Route, and it's a textured, insulated jacket. It's very, very trendy. It comes in a men's and women's companion style. So it's a really nice new offering from Ash City, ASI 37143.
Can you drink in it?
You can drink in it.
Well, there you go. You're with the theme.
All right. Good enough.
All right, Michelle Bell, what do you have?
I have from our friends at All in One, which is ASI 34256, USB drives made out of cork. So think of like a wine bottle cork.
Oh.
So they'd be perfect for wineries and resorts and bars and restaurants, and they can be imprinted in a variety of colors so you can match your logo with that. But they're really cute, and that will all be on asicentral.com/radio.
All right, check those out. We have just a couple more minutes, so Michelle, we all want to get motivated for the rest of the week, and you're going to give us a couple tactics right now.
Okay, always act with purpose. Who here does that?
I'm fairly purposeful.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
When I want to be.
Take responsibility for your own results, and most people misinterpret this concept. They think it means to take credit when things go well and take the blame when things go wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it means taking responsibility. It's not about that. It's about taking responsibility for your own results and taking ownership of whatever you're working on.
I agree with that.
And don't wait for perfection. Just do it now. A lot of people
don't. I agree with that.
Yeah.
We're not perfectionists.
Wow. Set in unison.
No, but some people try to do that, and
it's
they
true.
Take forever and never accomplish anything.
Right.
Just get it done and move on.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
And here's one we have problems with. Surround yourself
get it
with
done.
Motivated
try
people.
To do it well.
Motivate people. Try to do your best, but you don't have to have everything perfect every time.
Agreed. But try to do it
you,
well.
You miss
don't just get on with it and
no.
And
do your best
move
job
on.
And move on.
All right. Move
job.
On.
All right. One more, Michelle.
Surround yourself with motivated people.
All right. Well, we're all highly motivated, so we've done that. All right, Michelle, we're going to put the rest of those tips online
so
people can get motivated for the week. Thanks to everyone for listening today. Thanks to today's show sponsors, AIA and ASI Computers. And be sure to tune in next week when one of us, Michelle, is going to talk about how to think like Warren Buffett. And she should know because she recently saw Warren Buffett in person. So have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.